Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by renowned public radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And we're pleased to welcome as our guest State Representative Edith Ajello, a Providence Democrat. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, all.
We'll start by talking about the issue of sexual harassment at the State House. Representative Ajello, you were first elected as a lawmaker in 1992. That means you're one of the longest serving members of the Rhode Island House of Representatives and have a long term perspective. So what is your sense of how widespread sexual harassment is at the Rhode Island State House?
My sense of the state of sexual harassment is at the State House is probably that it's about like it is around the country, around the world, probably. Every day it seems like we hear of another prominent male who is being charged with harassment, evidently Dustin Hoffman. And we were chatting before we started about someone at NPR now stepping down. It seems that it's all over and the State House is no exception. Men with power or men who think they have perhaps more power than they really do are exercising it inappropriately, both with sexual harassment and also sexism in the way that women are treated and demeaned. We really need more women in elected office.
Do you expect we'll see more allegations of harassment from female lawmakers or female staffers at the State House?
I suspect that there may be some more stories coming out, yes.
And before we go to Scott, Representative Teresa Tanzi, who made an allegation that she was told by a higher-ranking lawmaker that her legislation would move further if she provided sexual favors. She has not identified the person who did that. Can you tell us whether that person is still in the General Assembly?
I don't think that person is a threat any longer to women at the State House.
Let's go to Scott.
Edie, it's great. Now, this is something that Professor Moakley has always said, that a lot of the problems at the State House and other politics comes down to men behaving badly. And this is another one of those instances. I'm just wondering, though, is it fair to have all the guys up there kind of tarred by this without a name coming out and having all these other folks walking around with a target on their back? I mean, at some point, don't we need to know the name of this person so that folks who aren't demeaning women, who aren't, harassing women, are treated fairly?
I would argue, as I think people like Peg Langhammer of Day One would argue, that the victim's rights should be thought of as primary. And the victim, in this case we're talking about Teresa Tanzi, chooses not to name the person who gave her this advice. I think that's her right. I think we will hear from others, but the importance of protecting victims of sexual harassment, I think, is more important than protecting those males at the State House who did not give Teresa Tanzi that advice and maybe wouldn't have given that advice.
Maureen, do you have a question or comment on this?
Well, I mean, I see Scott's point, but I also see the representative's point in the sense that we're going to have hearings and they're going to start to talk about it. And in the larger context, we don't think every single movie star sexually harassed people. So you could take that stance. What I think is that this represents a real sea change. You see people in London, the parliament there. I think that as parochial as the assembly may be, I think you're going to see a real change in the political culture. That's a big, big idea. But I think its time has come. And I think when you go back, I think you'll notice there are differences.
I think so, too. And I really think that more important, perhaps, than a commission looking into this and hearing other complaints will be the sensitivity training, getting groups of representatives together and talking to them about what sexual harassment is, what it looks like, and why this or that comment is inappropriate. I think that, unfortunately, 25 years after Anita Hill, we still need to have those conversations.
Before we move on to a different issue, Representative Vigella, you say part of the solution is electing more women to office in Rhode Island. We see that when women run here, they very often win. What is discouraging more women from running for office?
Well, probably this whole story is one thing that's discouraging women from running, at the same time that it's encouraging other women to run. But it's not, women are not encouraged in the way that men are encouraged, never have been, I think. When people are asked, when men are asked, they were encouraged by relatives, others in school, you should get involved in politics. That's not something that, certainly not anything that was ever suggested to me as a, growing up as a student young mother.
Well, let's talk about a related issue. The Women's Caucus of the Rhode Island Democratic Party has been gaining in strength since the election of President Trump last November. The caucus played a big role in helping to chase Joe DiLorenzo from the Democratic Party after he called progressives left-wing whack jobs and questioned Representative Tansey's allegation of being sexually harassed. So, Representative Vigella, what kind of impact do you expect from this more energized Women's Caucus next year, as far as policy in the General Assembly and as far as women candidates running for office?
I'm really excited about the Women's Caucus. I've attended about half of their meetings, one in Woonsocket, one in Bristol, and one in Providence. This is a feisty group of women of a range of ages, not all young, not all white-haired like myself. But they're feisty. They certainly grabbed onto this issue and ran with it, making a demand that this man not be an officer of the Democratic Party. To answer your question, they're very concerned about reproductive rights, very concerned about legislation that Gail Golden and I have been working on regarding codifying Roe v. Wade. I think that they're going to continue pushing on that in the next session, and I think they'll push that in the election in 2018.
Well, you know, it'll be interesting to see, because the women's agenda, they did very well this year, but it's interesting that those bills only passed at the very last minute when the legislature reconvened. And I'll be curious to see how your cohorts and in the body, particularly at the House of Representatives, who are not all that progressive, react to this, and if you'll have the same problems that you have, because the leadership really has to go along. And from their perspective, they don't want to push the envelope too far. I do think, to your second point, that women now are willing to run when they used not to be. And what held them back previously, the research suggests, is they feel as if they have to be more qualified than men. In other words, they're not willing to jump in. But I think this whole idea of what happened after Trump was elected has energized them. And I think we will see more women.
Scott, how about a comment from you on that?
I think the energy in the Democratic Party is on the progressive side. Now, I think if you take the women's rights groups, the environmental groups, people against the Burrillville power plant, for instance, some of the left side of the unions, and you put those folks together in Democratic primaries across the state, we've seen it. We've seen it in Providence. We saw it down with Tansey's district. We've seen it all over the state. If you have a concentrated effort with a really good ground game, I think you're going to see more women, and I think you're going to see more people from the left side of the party. And this is a problem for Speaker Mattiello, because he comes from a very conservative district, which voted 55-45 for Trump. So I see some problems for the leadership there.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And Providence Democratic State Representative Edith Vigella.
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And you can find lots more information on our website at ripr.org.